Yo, what's going on? Yes, 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 yes. What's going on, everybody? Happy, happy, happy Sunday. Happy Sunday. Welcome to another episode of The Lion's Den. What's going on, Miss Lixie and everybody there? What's up? What's up? Hey, and as a matter of fact, if this is your first time checking us on out, wherever you're watching us at, if you're not watching us on YouTube, you might want to. So what's about to pop up is an opportunity for you to click on that link. That link will take you directly to the YouTube page. So there's zero interruptions. But what we focus here on the Lion's Den is leadership, growth, and development with a call to action. So whatever you about, if you're not about that, that ain't what we own. So you either with us or you against us. You know what I'm talking about? Big Herm, what's up, man? How you feel?
Good, brother. How y'all doing?
Damn, good, good. Homie, how's your weekend?
Man, my weekend was pretty good, man. Really low-key weekend this time around, man. I ain't really do much.
Really?
Nah, not this weekend.
Oh, man. Do you remember it?
Y'all catch me doing something?
You probably did something. Don't even remember. Hey, listen. Hey, look. Hey, I'm going to have you check your Facebook page. You was out in them streets. Right. Hey, Jabri. What? Oh, as a matter of fact.
What's up, man?
Jabri. What's up, man? How was your weekend, homie?
It was good, man. A little work on Friday.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I completely chilled. Church today, man. That's about it.
There you go. Hey, it was good seeing you too, man, with my short little time down there in San Ann. You know what I'm talking about? You swung through, man. So much love, man. I appreciate it.
No doubt.
Always good seeing you. Miss Danny. Danny, how's your week, ma'am?
Oh, man, I'm so sorry that this is blurry, but I had an okay weekend. I'll tap more into it as we discuss, but yesterday was a bit challenging.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, this is the place to be. If you was good to go or just okay, we're going to get through that. All right. So again, y'all, if y'all haven't been here before, welcome. Now that you're here, we give you a little bit, right? Just give you some time so you can go and watch us and most definitely subscribe. Okay. So if you follow that link, you will be able to watch us. But ladies and gentlemen, what we're talking about this week is how do you show up? Period. Like no matter what, in the household, being friends, at the job, in relationships, you get what I'm saying? In school, right? With your kids. Like we've been really harping on that on the last few weeks, right? But how do we show up as individuals and what do we want to portray? So we went through that for the last 6 minutes almost. And that's what we're going to do. So make sure you're following us so we can have this conversation. All right. We appreciate y'all. Miss Danny. We'll let you start it on off, ma'am.
How do you So again, apologies that it's blurry, but you guys, yesterday I had what I thought was a heart attack, right? I thought that I was about to end it, like it was full stop for me. And I was at home with my kids, and it got so bad that I ended up calling the ambulance because I thought this was it. And either it was the worst heartburn and acid reflux that I had, or it was the onset of some type of anxiety attack. And so for me, I would love to hear from you guys, and we can probably start it off here or we will get there. But when you feel like you have so much on your plate, you have so many things going on, you still have to show up no matter what, especially for me as a single mom. When you are showing up in these spaces, do you feel the pressure to show up? The pressure of, Like for me, like I said, I don't have a choice. Like I give myself maybe, and this is how I've always been, maybe 24 hours to get my life together. And then the next day it's like, you guys both have mentioned Herm and Seth. You said you guys were thugs. I'm a thug. Like I thug it out, a tourist through and through. And I just give myself a day to get over it. And I've been through the worst in terms of losing children, being homeless, all of those things. But I've always been like, you got to pick yourself up because what other alternatives are there? So yesterday, I didn't think that I was like going through anything that would prompt an anxiety attack. But I thought God was taking me back yesterday. So I called the ambulance. And it's almost embarrassing because you have 8 people in your home hooking you up to all kind of, you know, things and devices. And then it's just like, okay, girl, you're fine. We checked you out. You're actually okay. Maybe it's just an anxiety attack. Are you under stress? And I'm like, well, you know what? There's a lot that I could be stressed about, but I don't never harbor those things or feel like I'm taking those things in, I feel like I'm balancing pretty well. So have you guys ever been in a position with trying to show up in all of these spaces that you felt pressured to be or do almost to the point that you weren't practicing your own self-care?
Hey, first off, Danny, I'm sorry that happened to you. You know, I know that could be very scary. That same exact thing actually happened to me before when I was in St. Louis. So I didn't know it was a heart attack or what was going on. They thought it was everything from a light heart attack to gas. When after the EKG really discovered there was nothing, you know, they just labeled it maybe a panic attack, right? I was like, what am I panicking about? Everything is just fine. So I didn't know what was going on, you know, but it happened to me and it was a really frightening thing. So, you know, I'm sorry that happened to you. You know, I'm glad that you are okay. All right. But as far as you're talking about still having to show up, even though you got a different amount of things pile up on you because, you know, everything still depends on you. Yes. You know what I'm saying? Unfortunately, a lot of times you still, because the world still doesn't stop, even though you are going through something, right? You know, so especially through my experience being in the military, you know, we still had to show up no matter what was going on to make sure we perform. So, yeah, like say I'm going to give an example, like we have an inspection going on, right, back in the day. When we had inspections, these things were considered no fail. You can't fail these things. And if you're in charge of a program, that you can't take leave during this time. You can't do anything. You got to be there for it. You still have to show up no matter what's going on around you for the betterment of your whole team and, you know what I'm saying, your unit, you know, make sure you do your part. So I had experiences doing that as far as what you was talking about, Danny, you know, even though you're down and out, you still have to show up and still was expected to perform.
Well, so let's see. What you got, Jabri?
So,
what you think, brother?
So I think that because it so much is dependent on individuals that do show up consistently, right, which is I think what Danny's talking about. She's a sole provider and all that stuff. Sometimes we learn how to mask all the things that we're really going through. And so because we do that, all the stress that's building on us, we don't allow that to manifest or even show towards other people because we know we have so much on the table. And in those particular situations, we allow that stuff to pile on us and it starts affecting us health-wise. So I just believe that we have to be transparent about how we're struggling. We have to be able to communicate and have someone to go to, whether it's a therapist, whether it's a family member or someone that can relate. And then we have to ensure that we're healthy, because regardless of how much we show up for everybody else, if we're not here, we can't show up for anyone, right? And yep. So going through what you went through yesterday, and again, I'm so happy that you're here. I'm so happy that you're well. I think you have so much going on, and I've heard your story somewhat over the last few, you know, over the last month or so. You have a lot going on. You have a whole lot going on. And so start trying to find different resources. And this is for anyone. Yep. Find those resources that'll help you. And then when you do it, don't feel like you're taken away from the people that you show up for, because you helping yourself is actually you showing up for them even more, or it making you available to show up even more.
Right. I agree with that. And last thing I will add too, not just to go along with everyone else, we have to make sure that we take a second to feel what's really going on. Right. So it's three stages to everything as far as, you know, self-care. You have to feel it, understand what it is, and then deal with it. But when you deal with it, you have to incorporate some level of healthy coping mechanism. Meaning, if, and like to Jabri's point, you can't really be there for someone if you're not there for yourself. We've been talking about this for a while, right? But you can't show up. You can't be the best version of yourself, can be the best parent, can be the best whatever that you are if you're not taking care of yourself. So that means being able to feel it. Now, to Herm's point, check this out. When we was in the military, we was, yo, had to go, no matter what, right? No fail, right? And all depending on what your job was, that that was added stress. So what happens is our mind would start to focus more on that task versus listening to how your body's actually, you know, feeling. So what happens is after you, you know, either that ops tempo of whatever you was doing slow down, or you get out the military, then you don't have all that minutia in the background. Your body start talking to you like, wait, what's that pain? And your body's saying, food has been there for the last 15 years, but you ain't been listening to me. You get what I'm saying? So now you feel me, right? So now that you go through that stage of feeling, then you can deal with it. Once you deal with it in a healthy manner, then you can start to heal. But ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about how you show up and what type of things you need to do to show up in that level. Right. So, Big Herm, man, what you think, man? Hey, how do you show up, and what's been one of the issues that you've been, let's say, in traditionally showing up a certain way, but it hasn't been as beneficial?
So the way I show up normally, here's my problem sometimes. A lot of times, like everybody has Facebook or whatever, right? You scrolling around and you see somebody posting something that maybe look like they're down or whatever. Mm-hmm. I've seen that a few times, right? You know what I'm saying? And a lot of times, you know, I care about folks. So I'll hit them up, right? I'll hit them up just to make sure everything is okay with them, right? Sometimes it'd be something real drastic. Sometimes it's not really an issue. They just maybe attention seeking a little bit. But most of the time, you know what I'm saying, it's just somebody that needs some help or something. I think the problem is with me is sometimes you feel like you can help everybody, when a lot of times people just really didn't want your help. They just wanted to vent out some kind of frustration, whatever, you know what I mean? But you being the kind of person you are, you interject yourself into an issue that really ain't an issue. You know what I mean? They just trying to vent. They don't need nobody to fix them. Right. Sit your captain, save ass down. You know what I mean? You over here trying to, you over here trying to be the most, you know what I mean?
You don't want to be saved. Is, yeah, what
I help this guy, can help you too. I don't know why I ain't asked for all that. You know what I mean? I just want to complain on Facebook. Right. You know, so I think, you know, sometimes, you know, you showing up, you got to make sure, you know, yes, you're doing it for them. You know, you're doing it for them. Make sure it's not a selfish reason, you know what I'm saying, some kind of self-gratification that you think that you're about to get because you came in and saved it. It's just like when people, hey, here I am giving this homeless person some water. Come on, guys. Y'all see me?
Right.
Giving this homeless person some water? And taking pictures of yourself doing it. You know what I mean? Not to say I did that. You know what I mean? But keep in mind, like, that's kind of what it looked like if you think that you can just help everybody when everybody is looking for your help.
That's a good one. What you think about that, Jabri?
Hey, that's yeah, that's spot on, man. Like, I think people really clout chase a lot of times when they tell you they're showing up for somebody. They just want to be seen doing it. But what are you doing behind the scenes, right? What are you doing for people that isn't readily available for social media? And so I just think, you know, showing up is really all about consistency, man. So you can take that from your workplace to your home to your kids. I think when you're consistent in different areas and not just showing up and, because trust me, I've shown up, you know, I'll just say for my daughters, we're in the same house, so I'm here. I'm, you know, I'm consistent, right? But if they're in another room or they're doing their thing and you're not paying any attention, is that really showing up, right? So it consistency with substance will allow you to feed the need of whatever it is in that that situation. So, of course, baby steps. You start off with just showing up and being consistent with doing that. But in that process, you're going to learn, and you're paying attention, you're going to learn the things you need to do for it to be more effective. So, again, just consistency to start off with, but in, that process is going to allow you to continue to keep building on the things that allow you to do what you need to do to be there.
Mm, Yeah, I like that. What you think about that, Miss Danny? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you guys both, Herm and Jabri, you guys touched on a lot, and I would agree that just like, I think what I heard in a lot of what you guys said is like setting healthy boundaries is also important when you show up. Mm. Over, you know, since day one, I've just always kind of worn my heart on my sleeve, and just because I did come from a single parent household, wanting to give, wanting to overexert myself in certain spaces and just give because I know what it feels to lack. And then almost to the point that in my adult life, that has caused me to be very jaded. And I'm learning to balance that balancing act with learning to, okay, Danielle, okay, you gave yourself to the wrong people in wrong situations, but that should not mean that you can't continue to give just to the right people. So I'm learning to course correct, if so to speak, and learn how to share and give to the people that deserve it. And so just sometimes learning to set those healthy boundaries is extremely important when you are showing up as your authentic self. You want to give, you want to help where you can. Learning balance and setting boundaries is important when you're showing up.
You're absolutely right. Sure. I was going to hit on that too, because the thing is that we can show up for people and it's authentically us, right? However, we have to be able to look and see, to your point, not everybody is, you know, part of your audience. So that means individuals will show you how to, you know, what they think about, you know, you giving. It would be a level of reciprocity there. Or if they're constantly pulling because you keep showing up consistently, Jabri, you dig what I'm saying? That means in their mind, okay, well, that's them. So I'm going to get the benefits of them. So then we do have to make sure that we kind of just monitor, you know, us showing up and making sure we're showing up in the right places. What you going to say, Herm?
Now about the social media thing, right? Because I think it's a gift and a curse.
Yeah.
There's a couple, I don't know if they're going to watch this, but there's a couple that we have here in Clarksville that does a lot of work in the community, right? They show up a lot. No matter what's going on, you know, free shoes. They're the people that if I need shoes for a kid inside of the community center, they're the ones to come bring it to me. You know what I mean? That type stuff. And they're all over social media doing this stuff, right? And for me, I don't know. I don't believe it's for them, for the notoriety. It's just to, you know what I'm saying, show people what good deeds look like. I think that can happen as well.
Oh, yeah.
Because if people see that, hey, this, you know what I'm saying, this is how you're able to give back to the community. You know what I mean? Like, we're doing this, and this. You know what I mean? Then it's like, okay, you know what I mean? This is who they are. They're right. Not just stopping by, you know what I'm saying, for photo ops. Here and there, you know what I mean? They really are doing the work and trying to motivate other people to do the work. So I'm not saying that everybody that's on social media doing it when they show up is like clout chasing, use words Jabri just used. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying like it's a fine line between it. You know what I mean? Somebody is generally doing it the better the community, or somebody is doing it just to, you know what I'm saying, promote their own brand.
Yeah. Yo, what's up, Swanee? And so what he says is I agree with that, Herman. He also said earlier that if you have to consistently broadcast good deeds, I believe that your motives isn't pure. And so here's the deal, though, too. If you are, let's say, for example, if this is your business, especially a nonprofit business, how do you get that information out there, right? So it's really showing individuals this is what we're doing with your support. This is what your support is enabling. But if, you know, I got all this money, you don't know how I got it, right? You don't know where my heart is, but I want you to see me giving to someone. What do you want people to know about you, right? So, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about that, right? How do you show up? How do you show up? And how do we show up in relationships and everything like that? Miss Danny, what you got?
Yeah, question for you, gentlemen. So, because you guys are the men of the household, especially Herm and Seth, coming from the military, where you said you really didn't have an opportunity to kind of, it was really poured into you that you have to show up and be very strict and stern and be very present in the moment. So how do you disarm all of that, take all of that off when you're entering in your household and show up differently versus work versus home?
Mm. As a matter of fact, Jabri was in too, and he was stationed with us. So what you think, Jabri?
I was about to say, I forget about being in the military sometimes, but yeah, 23 years, it was a long time. But that's a great question, because it took me years to find balance. Because you literally, you give and pour so much into your job. And then when you start supervising, you not only focus on your job, you're wearing the emotions and the frustrations and all the things that your airmen are going through as well. And then to come home and, you know, sometimes you just want to throw that uniform, you know what I mean, wherever in the room, and you just want to disassociate yourself from life, and you can't do that. You have a family, you have kids and stuff like that. And so what I found is that sometimes a few minutes in the car, right, that would always help me. What I used to intake as far as what I would listen to, whether it's a certain type of music, whether it was the word, whether it was something motivational, it would always help me on the ride home from work. And because there was only a short amount of time from that commute to the house to where I had to actually understand that they don't deserve this. Whatever right. I went through that day, they don't deserve that. And so it took me some time to realize, walking into this house, you need to fake it until you make it just a little bit, right? You need to let them know that you love them. You need to hug on, you know, instead of pushing the kids out the way, right? You need to hug on them a little bit. You need to kiss on them. And then when you go upstairs to take that uniform off, take another moment. And then before you come back downstairs or wherever the room is, realize that, hey, you got to compartmentalize that stuff. You got to leave some of that stuff where it is. And then have that communication open with your significant other or you know, whoever you're with or whatever at that time, to be able to have that safe space to be able to talk about it. Because the last thing, well, she's going to realize, she or he is going to realize, hey, what's going on with you? What's right. that about? And so you don't want them to feel that it's their fault because you had an issue with leadership, or you had an airman that won't get right, or you know what I mean? Or you just know that tomorrow's going to be crazy. So yeah. they don't deserve that stuff.
No, I love that. Love that. What, Herm?
I mean, for me, you know what I'm saying? My kid, my family still standing attention when I come to the house. So I didn't know that.
I'm lying.
Hey, man, my wife just came in the house and gave me a report statement. No,
she did not. And what'd you do?
I blocked off the camera, man. Hey, I'm right. Hold on. You know what I'm saying? What?
You are lying.
Okay, you know what I mean? Yeah, I just make sure. I didn't want y'all to see that side of me. But yeah. I mean, we still follow customs and courtesies inside the Brown household. You know what I'm saying? They call me Senior Master Sergeant Brown. So it's all good. You know
that's
what I mean?
Damn shame. That's how, No, man. Hold on.
I never really had a problem with turning it off for the family, right? You know what I'm saying? I never really, you know what I'm saying, because I felt like the military didn't define me or whatever, right? But here's where I did have a problem. I always said the military don't find me. When I'm off and whatnot. But when I retired and went into another job, and I thought that I still felt like the military didn't find me, but then I realized, oh, I'm still carrying a whole lot of military stuff with me. And so at that time, I was hard to coach because coming from the level that I was at, and I'm coming right back to the bottom because I went to corrections for a little bit, right? And I had the stupidest people on the planet supposed to be in charge of me. I'm like, this idiot is not in charge of me. I can't, this is not going to work. You know what I mean? Right. He's too stupid. Mm-hmm. But you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't that he was stupid. You know what I mean? It's just that me coming from a position where I was at, they're coming all the way to the bottom to where, you know, they felt like, you know, they was trying to be military structured as well. It was just hard for me to show up the way that I need to show up because I couldn't let go of who I was at the time. I'm good now, you know what I mean? But at the time, I was coming fresh off retirement thinking I was good going into a job, which, mentally I wasn't ready for because I was still senior master sergeant at the time.
No, look, I appreciate that. And look, for me, you know, it was hard. It was hard. And I couldn't do it by myself. So therapy helped, you know, having constant connection with a good counselor that I trust. You know, and knowing the difference too, ladies and gentlemen, when you're showing up you have to know the difference between who you are and what you're doing, who you are and what you're getting paid to do, right? So if you think like you can be, you know, senior master sergeant Brown at work, and then you come home and you do that, you know, with a woman that knows who you are for real, you got another thing coming, right? Right. Even the kids, like you think about it, your daughter, your son, they go like, wait a minute. Hey, no, that ain't it. You get what I'm saying? So they deserve more and the best version of you. They're there to support you as well. You get what I'm saying? While you're going through that mess. So find a way to do whatever that you need to do. I needed help. And the thing is, my circle at the time, I was like one of the first ones to go through this. So it was like, shit, what do I do? I don't know how to do it. You know what I mean? Like for real. And, but yeah, helped, right? But getting the right help, because you have some individuals that don't know, they have not created a healthy way to transition themselves. Sure. You know what I'm saying? So that's not what you want. Yo, Max says, personally, I have to decompress on the ride home from work. I listen to certain podcast songs, etc., to relax me before going into the house. I have to be intentional about it every day. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, Jabri, man, let me ask you this. How do you show up as a friend? And wait, first of all, what does that even mean to you? But how do you show up? How do an individual know that you're being a 100 thorough friend? And how can they be a friend to you?
So I'm a true believer in there's friends are very hard to come by, right? And there's different levels of friendship. And so you have your day ones, you know, you have family, you have associates, and along the spectrum, right, it's a bunch of different levels to that. But at the same time, there are individuals that they know if they call me, I'll be there. They know if they need an ear, I'll be there. So there's not really a specific format for every single person, because everyone is different. And some people, hey, you just need to text them every now and again, and you guys are solid. Some people like to talk. And the thing is, I'm not a huge phone talker, but at the same time, you know when people are in need, right? And so when it comes to the different levels of friendship, everybody knows I'm there, but they get treated accordingly based on the fact that what our relationship looks like. And so even being in the military, I think it taught me a whole lot about friendship, because there's some people at my first base that I'm mm-hmm. still friends with. I haven't seen them in 20 years,
right?
But it's all love every single time, right? Just like Seth coming in town. I'm in San Antonio, and this is Military City, USA. So Everybody comes here. So I get calls and texts, messages every single month about people. Hey, I'll be in town. You got time? You free? I haven't seen this person in 15, 20 years. But I guarantee when they come in town, I'm going to show up, right? So even if it's nothing for a cup of coffee, even if it's just to pass by, most of the time it's for cooking, right? They want me to cook something. But but at the same time, I'm willing to do that, right? Because that friendship is it transcends time and everything like that. So
I love that. What about you, Danny?
Mm-hmm. Reciprocity was one of the key words, and there was a lot of friendships that I had to leave and let go because there wasn't a lot of reciprocity. Mm-hmm. And for me personally, this blur is irking me. But for me personally, I don't have any thriving friendships at this time in my life. And I'm okay with that. I'm content with that because I had to set those hard boundaries. But in terms of the ideal friendship and the things that I would like to have moving forward, it's just a group of girlfriends. I have a group that I kind of talk to every Monday and Saturday because we're all meeting together virtually for a Bible study. But those are some really great girlfriends that I see myself kind of hanging out with outside of the virtual group, because they're truth tellers. They can hold your secrets. There's reciprocity. They pour into you and it's going to be reciprocated. You can report back into them. We're all learning about God. We're all on a, you know, faith journey with one another, you know, and sharing some of the things that are personal to us. And we know that it will stay in that circle There's a whole bunch of women who are catty. I don't have to worry about anybody in that group being very catty. Ideally, I would just like to have a group of girlfriends who are not like the yes women, who are always on board, who are always gossiping, but who are like reaching higher heights, traveling, all boss women in their own right. You know, those are the type of women that I like to associate myself with. Before, the women that I had to let go, it was talking to me about your dude all of the time, and then I'm trying to take up for you and your dude. He hit you upside your head. Then the next thing you know, he's back mad at me because you're back with him. Yes. Mm-hmm. So I had to let all of that go. It was not like I was the only person in my circle evolving. And if you look around and you're all on the same level, you don't have anyone to look up to. Like, if you need somebody that can pull you up, if you don't have that, it's time to let those circles, those people, those women, whatever the case, let them go. So I have to do that. Now I'm at this juncture in life where I'm like, it's me and my kids for the time being. But eventually, once things kind of loosen up and level up for me, then obviously I would love to be with a whole bunch of group of thriving women who are all, like I said, bosses in their own right. So hit me up in the DMs, y'all. I'm open.
Hey, Herb. Now, so, man, we've been friends for a minute now, man. But for those individuals that don't know, what to you constitutes as you showing up and them showing up in your life?
Time, you know what I mean? I think that's where it is. Is the time that you're able to make, you know what I'm saying, and genuine feedback that you're able to provide to each other. Like I give you me and Seth's relationship, for example. A lot of times when we talk, we just not talking. You know what I mean? We talking about life and giving each other sound advice each time. You know what I'm saying? And we trust each other enough to be able to listen to each other, even if it goes against what we really believe. We know, because I know Seth's heart, he know my heart, that it's coming from a place to make me better. And I'm coming from a place to make him better. Mm-hmm. So it's never no time to get offended by what we say to each other, right? Even if we don't agree with what we say. You know what I'm saying? A lot of times I tell Seth things and I'm always right. That's the problem. You know what I mean?
You see that?
And hold on. But you know what I'm saying? I'm most of the time, 100% of the time.
100%.
Right. 100% of the time, yeah. I'm right. You know what I mean? But switching gears a little bit, you know, there's some times where I knew that I caught myself showing up when I was enabling. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Really, really, I'm not showing up for this guy. You know what I mean? Really, I'm helping them destroy themselves. You know what I mean? Because I'm thinking that I'm helping them through something, when really I'm providing them with the same poison that's really killing them. You know, because I felt like that was the way that was going to make that person happy, right? You know what I mean? It was going. I need this. I need this, and I gave into what they said they needed, when really that's not what they needed at all. Right. Whether it be money, you know what I'm saying, a ride or whatever, you know what I'm saying, they really didn't need that. Because all I'm doing is speeding up the process for them to keep destroying themselves. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Okay. Like, yeah, I had a couple friends. Now when I've told them, until you go seek real help, you can no longer get any assistance from me. And you know what I'm saying? It was a hard thing to tell them because we've been friends since babies, right? You know what I'm saying? But I had to say, hey, I can't help you out no other kind of way until you go get the help that you need to stop this trend.
Right.
And I haven't heard from him since. You know what I mean? I worry about him. I call, you know what I'm saying? And I don't get no pickup, no nothing. You know what I mean? But that's just the way it's got to be, because I realized I was not really helping my friend.
No, I like that. I like that. So, you know what? This is super dope. And I hopefully the you know, the audience is learning, you know, about how to show up. And sometimes you're going to have to show up in certain ways that's uncomfortable. So let's think about this, though. Y'all tell me what y'all view about showing up. And, you know, Herm, you kind of hit on it, right? And I think we all have it to a degree. How do you show up with individuals that you love, right? Family members, right? Relationships and things like that. How do you authentically show up? And I think that it's important first to know who you are. And what I mean by that is understanding your tolerance, right? Understanding your you know, when you communicate, what can your tonality do? You get what I mean? But then also, are you able to explain that to an individual so that they won't take things so personally, like her? You get what I mean? I know how he communicates, right? We kind of communicate the same way. So when we're, if someone was on the outside looking in, they think we're arguing, right? But we know we actually tripping out, you get what I mean? But having a good conversation. So I guess the question is, how have you shown up in a relationship and you learned something from it? Meaning, even though that relationship maybe didn't, you know, pan out the right way, but you were able to reflect and say, you know what? I've been, like, for example, I could have been in a relationship for, let's say, 5 years. But it, within that 5 years, I was not who I naturally am or was, but I was showing up to keep the relationship going, quote unquote, right? Mm-hmm. And then so after the relationship, you come to realize, wait a minute, the next relationship, whatever it is, this is how I need to project. I need to project what I want to be seen as and known as, right? So Jabri, how have you been able to do that? And what things have you learned about you in past relationships?
So I think the toughest thing for me is believing I showed up for someone and didn't receive the same reciprocity, right? I think that's a hurtful thing when you know you're giving your all and you're not feeling like you're getting that in return. But what I've learned is my efforts in showing up was they were all centered towards myself, right? I didn't communicate well enough to understand how I needed to show up for that person. So me showing up in the way that I wanted to didn't do anything for that person, right? It was good deeds and it you know, some of that stuff worked, but at the same time, it wasn't what that person needed from me. And I didn't communicate it in a way that allowed me to understand, hey, I'm missing the mark right here. And so what it ended up breaking down the boundaries of that relationship to the point where now we're both just mad at each other. And it's not for a lack of effort, right? Because effort is being put forth, but we're putting effort in a futile act, right? We're just tired of doing stuff instead of doing stuff for one another in the way that that person needs it. So I think what I've actually learned is, hey, I know it sounds crazy, but how do you want me to show up for you?
That's it.
Right? And a lot of the times, you know, women think we can read their minds. I'll be the first person to tell you, I've never read a mind before. I'm the worst mind reader. So I am very basic when it comes to asking, what is it that you need? Matter of fact, I'll take it even this far. Men and women communicate so differently. I've sat down sometimes and been like, all right, before you start this story, this long story, right? how do you need me to listen? Right? Do you need me to listen to correct? I mean, to try to fix something? Do you need to just vent? Or do you just need me to be here as your hype man? Because I can be either or. I don't want to come off as sarcastic or anything, because I truly mean this. How do you need me to listen? So what I found is communicating in a basic format to understand what that person needs so that my actions aren't going wasted and vice versa.
Good one. I love that. Miss Danny.
You guys, we are so vastly different. That is clear. That's obvious. I have not ever been in a long-term relationship. I've always been like, this is fun for the moment. It's not going to last. And I'm very clear about that. I'll say, boy, you don't got a lot of time. But
oh, wait a minute.
Hey, off the jump, man.
Yes. It's hey, fun. You know, this is all fun, but this is not long term. And I've been clear about that and always straightforward, to the point that everyone around me, like my family, are like, you are so harsh. You're so mean, cutthroat. But I will say that, number one, had I approach relationships differently. I just would not have ever been in a relationship with those people at all. I would have had set better standards, or I would have been very clear out the gate, like, although I was, we don't need to be in a relationship. This should just be something that we just kind of are friends and don't need to take it any step further. Just continue enjoying each other's time and not ever enter into a relationship, because it was never going to be something long-term. It was never going to go far. I could have been very clear about that, and real with myself. That's what I mean when I say clear, just real with myself. And then also the lesson that I learned in that is that I really do kind of wish I gave relationships a little bit more time, because there are things that now I would, yes, James. There are things now that I'm like, you know what? I could have gave that a little bit more time. Like my ex-boyfriend prior to me having children, and this is full transparency, right? So we just did not have the best living situation. I went out there to move in Las Vegas from Washington State, wanted to change the scenery, went out there and met up with him like the first day that I got there. And we just ended up being in a relationship nonstop from the moment that I got there. And it just was a lot too soon. He was out of the marriage, had two kids, and it was a lot. And his thing was, I don't have a job, but I'm going to provide for you by hustling. I'm like, boy, no, love is not enough. Like, you know, we need money. We need to survive. And it's Dollar Tree shops and is not an ideal situation. So no, I got to get out of here. I have to leave. That was like the relationship. And just living with each other in small quarters with him and his two children, that was new to me. But now here I am with two children, you know, and if I would have gave that relationship, because there was nothing else besides, he just was like needing more help and encouraging an encouraging woman to kind of help lift him up, because he has a lot of potential, but potential doesn't pay the bills. And so had we kind of worked together, we probably would have been a powerhouse, and we still keep in touch now. But now looking at my life, two kids, you know, it really wasn't everything that I was picking on him about. There isn't a lot about my current situation that has changed. So I do sometimes wish that I would have given some effort to the relationships that I was in.
Mm. Wow. All right. That's good. Appreciate that transparency. What about you, Herm?
For me, I think mine's centered more towards around mentorship and being able to accept it, right? Man, I was pretty standoffish when it came to that, because a lot of times I look at folks like, you know, no matter what rank you were or whatever, it's like, who are you to mentor me? You know what I mean? Like, and that is very so much the wrong attitude to have, because I probably missed out on a lot of valuable, you know what I'm saying? I probably missed out on some valuable relationships when it came to that. It took me becoming, I've had a lot of people that I've called big sis and all that, but it took me becoming an E6 when I really took on some true mentors being stationed in Korea. So I went all that time, you know what I mean? Not really having somebody to truly mentor me on my career, because I thought that I knew it all. And it took somebody to tell me, you know, Brown, if you shut up and listen, you might actually be pretty good at this. You know what I'm saying? He told me straight to my face. Nobody ever talked to me that direct in my life, man. He told me, Brown, if you just shut up and listen, you know what I mean? You might be all right at this. And they took a real good look at my career and showed, broke it, everything else back. We had the Hunger Games when they was kicking everybody out the military, right? I was 14 of 14 E6 tech sergeants.
Wow.
I was I ranked the very bottom of tech sergeants that year. You know what I mean? And I was like, how could that possibly be? But you know what I'm saying? When you look at my records, you know what I mean? There was a lot of things in there, you know what I mean, that really jacked me up that I did to myself, because I never really accepted mentorship. Now, even though I was 14 or 14, I was one of 14 that got promoted that year as well. You know what I'm saying? To master sergeant. You know what I mean? So, hey. But anyway, you know what I mean? But that's when I started taking on mentorship, and I saw my career take a shift and start taking a turn. You know what I mean? Because I realized I don't have all the answers. I'm not a know-it-all. I'm not as smart as I really think I am. So if it wasn't for him showing up for me in that way, being direct and let me know, man, you really ain't shit. You think you somebody, but you really not shit. And that, and that's why you 14 or 14, right? If it wasn't for somebody being that direct to me, it's no telling where I would be in my life, because now I know sometimes you really just got to shut up and listen.
Yeah.
You know, no, I got to sit back and listen to what people are trying to pour into you instead of thinking your cup is already full.
Yeah, man, that's it. That's it. And you know what? Yeah, I dinged it. I dinged it. Look at you. See, but hey, I appreciate that because and I want y'all to really think about this, right? Really think about it. Are you at the space to really understand what you need, right? Not necessarily how, again, how you can show up in individuals' lives, but what you need. To Herm's point, I need that straight, direct conversation and knowing that it's coming from the right place, right? Some individuals are so passive aggressive, they don't say what they need to say because they're worried about what you may say. How about I may say thank you? Hey, I need that. If I keep asking certain questions, that's I'm trying to get the truth out of you. You get what I mean? To let me know, all right? Because to Herm's point, if you've been going so long and no one is telling you what's really, I mean, the other side of you, you're going to think that you top notch in everything, right? But a true friend and within a true relationship is able to do both, right? Because years ago, y'all been saying this, honesty without compassion is brutality. So there's a way to communicate to people, right? So me personally, I like clear communication, but you don't have to like talk down. Y'all ever heard that terminology? Punch down on an individual? Yeah. Yeah, punch down or talking down to an individual. Look, don't do that because I'm not above you, but you're not above me, no matter what. I don't care what we're doing now. Rank-wise, that's something else, right? Occupation, yeah, you may have a supervisor. However, we're all human. So I like the mutual respect, right? And to say, hey, I need to have a conversation with you. Based off of my track record, meaning the other person, based off of my track record, I've shown you how I take care of people. I've shown you how I take care of you. I've shown you how I take care of everybody, you know, things. So I need you to really look at that and understand what I'm getting ready to tell you is coming from that same energy. You see what I'm saying? But if you don't have, you know what I mean, a pot to piss in and a window to throw it out of, in my mind, I'm not listening to you like that, right? I'm hearing you, but I'm not listening to you. Now, Jabri, is that wrong? What you think about that?
No, I think the key part is you understanding yourself and what you need in that moment. And so if you have someone that is not pouring into you the way that that you know you need to receive it, and it's in a disrespectful manner, demeanor or whatever, and it's somebody punching down at you. Because again, I don't talk about the military a whole lot because I'm just so happy to be in this space.
Right.
You know what I mean? To be retired. But, you know, of course, we all had our times where I'm looking at somebody like, man, who are you talking to? Like, I get that you outrank me, but let's not get this twisted, bro, because I will take this jacket off in 0.5 right. seconds and come see you, for real. But at the same time, like, there's a select few people who do that. And then, like Herm said, there was a lot more people that wanted to pour into me and I didn't allow it to happen. So you have to be in a position and a posture of understanding, are you ready for that? Are you ready to receive it? Because I even think if Herm had of allowed those people to pour into him, it would have went in one ear and one and out the other, because you weren't actually even ready for that in your life at that time. So, I truly believe that when the time is right, and we posture and we set our foundation well, and we posture ourselves in the right position, the people that will pour into us, they'll be there.
What you think, Danny?
What's the question again? Because I want to answer the part about what do I need in this moment. But what did you ask?
Well, yeah, kind of like that, but do you know, right? Do you know, like, do you even know how to communicate that, right? And so when an individual is saying that, hey, they want to be in your life or whatever the case is, right? It can be a friendship. It doesn't even have to be a romantic partner. Mm-hmm. But where you are now, what is the type of energy, right? Are you able to take feedback? Or where can that, where, you know, how should that feedback come to you, right? Or when are you the most receptive? So go ahead.
At this present time, at this juncture in life, I communicate mostly through podcasting. And so you need to book on a calendar and like in the literal sense. That's how I'm receiving communication and feedback. It's just like exchanging through platforms like this, or we can have dialogue through the calendar, because that's me setting up a hard boundary. And then also as a busy mom, I need to receive information, you know, in bite sizes and pieces in that kind of format. But then also I really need space, because I've never really had this time to just sit with myself. And so I'm appreciating, I'm very content about being isolated for a season, being in the season where I can learn more about myself so that I can articulate exactly what I need from you. Because at this point, it's like all new for me. This is a new world, like dealing with two children, down the lowest I've ever been, you know, because coming from working all of the time to not working at all, to trying to build a business from the ground up. So this is all new for me. And I probably won't be able to receive a lot of what you're telling me, because I'm trying to work with my own ecosystem, with the things that I have control over right now. Mm-hmm. So it has to be in bite sizes. It has to be through a Calendly link, and it has to be either on this platform. And then I'm just enjoying this me time so that I can learn more about myself, so that I can eventually get to a space where I can receive more.
Respect that.
Yeah.
I get that, man. Being by yourself. I went through a season where I shut down. Somebody told me, I bet you don't even know how to be by yourself, because I always had something with me. You know what I mean? And I went through a season where, you know, I had to kick them off me. I'm like, hey, you know, I'm by myself right now. And that was tough, man. You know what I'm saying? Because now you're stuck with your own thoughts and whatnot. You know what right. I mean? Like your own reflection of yourself and really getting to know who you are. But Seth, I want to go to what you were saying about receiving information from people who don't have a pot to piss in, right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, they say, man, crackheads sometimes give the best advice.
No, okay.
Man, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes I listen to a few of them, right?
Right, also,
it also tells me, you know what I'm saying, where I'm at in life, right? Mm-hmm. When I see this person who has no, you know what I'm saying, in my mind, you have no reason to give me any kind of fitness advice. I know I'm flipping. Now I look at you and like, are you trying to tell me what I need to do? I was like, oh yeah, I need to get back on into the gym, because you done came sideways at me and started telling me how to diet or how I need to live. I'm like, or you know what I'm saying, when a girl that I'm clearly out of your league and you decide to hit me up, I'm like,
okay.
So that's when you start receiving things. You got to take those cues and be like,
I'm not.
You got to take those cues and be like, hey, you need to fix yourself, man. You know what I mean? Because they done came at you. You know what I mean? Like, hey, if you go on the keto diet, you might be a man. If you don't shut your ass up, you know what I mean? Don't come at me about no diet, man. I know what the hell I'm doing. I don't need your help.
See, ladies and gentlemen, so look, this is what the Lion's Den is about, right? So majority of the time we're giving you things that you can use.
Man, okay? If somebody who's not supposed to be giving you advice, give you advice, look your ass in the mirror and be like, what am I doing? You know what I mean?
I can't stand you. Hey, listen, shout out, how you doing, ma'am? She says, I appreciate you making space for this season of your life. No, that's super dope, man. Listen, because he's a fool. That's what the problem is. All right, Herm. All right, so we gonna get you in a minute, bro. You're on timeout for a minute. Hey, so Jabri, man, look, your last. What would you say? And Danny, you'll be after. What would you say? One sentence that you can give the audience as far as showing up. What things can they do, or what thought do you want to leave them with? Go ahead, Jabri.
Just showing up with a pure heart. Having a pure heart and an open mind is going to lead you to consistency. And then be very vigilant of who you actually show up for. Mm-hmm. Because really important, and I wanted to touch on it, what Herm said, enabling people, right? People who take, they don't get tired of taking. The only thing that happens is people who who give a lot, they get tired of being taken advantage of. And so ensure that when you are giving yourself and your time and your resources, you're giving it to the right place. And it's okay to be wrong and miss the mark sometimes. But at the same time, make sure you make time for yourself and realize if you're doing it wrong, then you need to make sure you correct yourself as soon as possible.
Love that. Love that. That's a good one. Go ahead, Ms. Danny.
When I think about showing up for yourself, I just think about legacy and what kind of legacy do you want to leave? What kind of legacy do you want to have? And so thinking with that legacy in mind, that will kind of help you think about how you show up in spaces. Do you want people to be there at your funeral when you're not here anymore? You know, and what does that look like? Start today, start right now with the things, the tools, the resources, the access. Start with who you are as a person, showing up every day, thinking about legacy in mind. And that's what I have to say about it.
I appreciate that. Big Herm, man, final word, bro. Hey, be at least be 30% serious about it.
When it comes to showing up, right, and you felt like in your heart you've done the best, and you could look yourself in the mirror and say, you know what, I did what I was supposed to do. Go ahead and go to sleep well and get up and do it again. You know what I mean? Nobody's going to be perfect. Nobody's going to hit the mark 100% of the time. But if you know that you did what's best coming from your heart, then sleep well that night and do the same thing over the next day.
Well said. Well said, ladies and gentlemen. This is what we do here at the Lion's Den. Hopefully you learned something today. I know I did. I learned I have a great circle of lions, lioness, and also a fool. Yeah, that's right. He's a fool, clinically. I bet you. Diagnosed, okay?
Whatever. Hey,
but you know what? You know what the funny thing is? He keeps showing up. So I encourage you all, keep being yourself. Show up. We got some work to do for next week. Right on? Right on. Y'all take it easy. Later.